Terry Savage joins us in studio today. Why are markets trending up a little bit before we know what the number is?
What a Wednesday this is. This is really interesting. The market's up about 100 points. Now it's been up at least 175, 180 right. most of the morning, just on the sense that maybe nothing terrible will happen. Maybe they'll just do what's expected, raise 75 basis points. Maybe Powell will just say the same old things. Sorry, but we have to kill inflation. And sorry, but it might cause some pain. But not give any hints of anything worse to come. And then the market is like, they're like at the starter's block at a race, you know, where they're down, they're crouched down, the market's ready to take off. If the Fed doesn't disappoint, if it doesn't kill hopes, if it doesn't say something, Powell, that is, say something that scares people, you could see a huge rally from here, a sigh of relief.
So previously he said something like shared pain. And
he didn't say shared pain. He said inflict pain.
Inflict pain.
He wasn't sharing any pain. I know, Paul.
Okay.
He lives in a nice house.
Inflicted pain.
He probably doesn't have a mortgage.
In fact, sound worse than shared pain. So inflicted pain. It's that almost vocabulary that you're keying on.
Well, he said that clearly before, just no one believed him. And remember, it's just a week ago that the CPI ticked up by 0.1% when it was hoped to decline by 0.1%. You know, I don't know about all these polling on these political races, but that strikes me as within the margin of error or too close to call.
But it was the core prices.
Wait, forget what it was.
Fine.
The point was that it was an infinitesimal amount, but it sent a signal that inflation is still with us. And the market gave a huge shudder. Oh, my goodness, will Powell raise rates a full percentage point? And then that's kind of backed off. But we have seen a lot of signs in the last, how about Ford Motor announcing it was going to have terrible earnings, not because there's no demand for its cars, not because it can't find parts, but that the parts it finds are higher priced. Its suppliers are raising prices. The Fed looks at that and says, yep, inflation's baked in the system. Take a look at all the labor agreements and the things that are going on. There's still businesses looking for workers. So the Fed is looking inside these numbers and saying, we really have to bring, this is what the Fed's doing. Oh, this is a terrible example, but it's like chemo for the market. They're not going to let up until they're sure they've destroyed every last cell.
You scared the hell out of people last week with all of your doom and gloom, and I wonder if you've tempered your thoughts a little bit. What if things go well today?
Well, the doom and gloom was not about the market. It was about a recession, and I posted that column.
Okay, your doom and gloom about the recession.
Yeah, I think that the Fed has probably, this is, you know, I'm not super prognosticator economist. I think the Fed has done enough damage that we haven't seen yet, and that's what the market's hoping, that it thinks it's done enough, that we are going to have a sharp economic slowdown. And they're doing more today, and they're not going to stop. They may not do 75 basis points. So I think the odds of a recession that's painful have risen, even though the market is thinking, okay, but let's build in that recession, the hit to earnings and so forth, and let's look out beyond it. And that's why you see the market ready to take off.
You do understand how that strikes us as a conundrum, right?
Like, it's a circle, right? Good news is bad news is good news is bad news. But we have to pull it apart and say, well, what does it mean to me? I got a great story for you in a minute when we come back. But what does that mean for interest rates for me? Oh, wow. What does that mean for my job? And what does that mean for my debt?
Interest rates, does it mean that I'm going to get more right now? I can lock
in. I'm going
to
show you how to double the interest rate that you're getting on your six-month CD with no risk.
Terry Savage, thank you for what you're about to say. It's 1220. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Syndicated financial columnist Terry Savage. What?
Okay. Here's the headline. Let's leave the Fed aside for a moment. We'll come back to that because they'll be announcing the rate increase at 1 o'clock, and then the Fed chairman will have a press conference at 1:30. I'm going to stick around and see if he makes news. You're annoyed. All my chicken money friends, attention. I wish I had a trumpet that we could sound for all my chicken money friends. Very good. Very good. Not quite loud enough, but very good.
Sorry.
After watching the Queen's funeral, I mean, nothing would be that pomp and circumstance, but.
Wow, that was a segue.
You are now annoyed because I looked up, I'm on bankrate.com, and the average rate, they don't have 6 months, but for a one-year CD in Illinois is 1.35%.
Okay.
The average rate for a two-year CD is 1.6%. You are now going to earn nearly 4%.
How do you do that?
Safely. Now, you know that I don't want to lure you into anything that, number one, isn't safe, isn't guaranteed, and wouldn't and would have any risk of loss, okay? And that is long-term because, yes, you could get higher rates if you lock up your money for longer, but you're sitting in your money market fund earning 0.32%, or maybe it's 0.46%, and a six-month CD, and a lot of that's liquid now and coming due. So if you go to terrysavage.com, it's not my regular Tribune column. I just posted a column saying T-bills beat CDs. Now watch this. Treasury bills, IOUs of the federal government, trillions of them. That's how we finance our $32 trillion national debt. The government sells, auctions them off, six-month T-bills and three-month T-bills every Monday, one-year notes, two-year notes come once a month usually. And the biggest bidders in the world, the foreign banks, investors globally, they all join the Treasury auction and a rate is set. The rate is set based on what? Fears of inflation. Rates get pushed down when money from around the world is scared and comes here wanting to buy our stuff so the government doesn't have to pay such a high rate. But the Fed's pushing rates higher. Right now, six-month Treasury bills are yielding, it's hard for me to say out loud, 3.91%. Now you're saying, yeah, but that's for rich people. That's for big people. Treasury bills. How do I do that? Guess what, all of you chicken money people that opened accounts to buy I-bonds at treasurydirect.gov, you already have access to buy six-month and three-month and one-year Treasury bills because when you go sign into your account.
And you can still open an account.
Oh, and you can still open an account. Instructions are at terrysavage.com right now. T-bills beat CDs. You take that Treasury Direct account that you opened. I have a link that was to how to open an account for savings bonds, and there's instructions in this column with a link.
I-bonds, we were talking.
I-bonds, yeah. Oh, sorry. And what you do is when you're in your account, remember how you bought Series I-bonds? It said buy direct. That's how you buy something in Treasury Direct, and you click till you found the Series I bonds. Now, this time, click on that tab, Buy Direct, and you will see Treasury bills. Click on that one. Then they'll say, well, what maturity do you want? Probably 6 months is enough. That's the one that's currently yielding in the global trading market, about 3.9%. You say 26 weeks, 6 months. And then you scroll down, and it says, how much do you want to invest? Well, it could be a minimum of $100. In this case, it could be $25,000, $50,000, millions. Or you make it a round number, you know, $750, $1,500. It's going to come out of that same bank account that you set up for Treasury Direct for your Series I bond on Monday, because the auctions are held on Monday. The rate will be set at the auction. You won't know in advance, but it's usually close to what it's trading at in that morning. And you can go online on CNBC.com and click on bonds, and it'll tell you what six-month bills are trading at. They'll take them. Wait, I haven't finished. They'll take the money out of your account automatically.
Right.
You will look, and your account will say, I have $2,500 worth of six-month treasury, 26-week treasury bills maturing on such and such a date. And then immediately, they're going to deposit the interest. You get that up front. It goes back into your money market account. And although it is taxable federally, it is not subject to state income tax.
So you'll automatically see the 4% growth?
You get the 4% yield. You get the interest up front. It's the way Treasury bills work. They're sold at a discount. Don't get me into the complexity of it. But let's say you had 10,000. But I don't want to do 10,000. People don't have that. 5,000. You will get a check for 6 months, I want to say
$200.
Well, thank you. That was very good. I was going to do 400 is for a year, so $200 will be deposited right back into your checking account within a week. So, or your money market, where it can earn
and
interest.
And that's for 6 months. Should I do, would I now get a better, that, would I get a better yield on a 12 month?
It depends right now. We're going to see they're all pretty close. You can get 4% for 2 years as well. That's what they're trading at.
I wonder if I should do that.
But here's what happens at the end of 6 months. Yeah. You're going to say, they'll send it right back to you into your bank account. But you get another choice when you buy these treasury bills at treasurydirect.gov. It says, do you want to automatically roll over when these come due? And click yes, automatically roll over 2 times, 3 times. If for some reason you need the money for something, you can go into your Treasury Direct account. I think it's 10 days before the auction. They send you a reminder notice. Your T-bills are about to roll over.
You pay a penalty when you take it out?
No. At that point, you just, at the date of maturity, you say, oops, I didn't mean to roll it over. So send it back to my checking account. You cannot get it out of there before the 6 months.
Fair enough. Does it roll over at 4% or
no? It'll roll over at whatever the rate is.
Well, maybe I don't want to. Maybe next time it's going to be 1%.
Yeah, but you don't want to waste the time getting it out of your of Treasury. But if it's 1%, then your bank is going to be paying you 0%. Okay, so Treasury yields right now, because what the Fed is doing, you now have all of us who've really been annoyed that money markets were paying nothing,
yep,
can now have access. I mean, I've been doing this forever, but the Treasury yields were like 0.07% on 6 month Treasury bills five, 6 years ago. Remember when we thought rates would go negative? Finally, this market is reacting to the Fed's tightening. So I'm going to just, I know you're going to read a commercial now. So let me say this. I don't sell anything on my website. You can sign up for my newsletter. I'll send this out. But go to terrysavage.com. The top post is, on the left, is T-bills beat CDs. The banks will be sorry that I'm showing you how to get out of there and double your interest safely.
T-bills beat CDs at terrysavage.com. And essentially 4%, 3.91 locally is the number that you saw online. Is it everywhere? It's 3.91%?
No. These are the Treasury bills. It's the U.S. government auction. Last week, the auction was I don't know what, but now they trade in the global marketplace. The current yield is 3.91. And next, where are we? Wednesday. By Monday, rates aren't going to drop. They might even be a little bit higher. We won't know till after they announce it at the auction.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Pete Zimmerman produces. I'm John Williams. Wednesdays, it's Terry Savage Day, and today she's here until 1 o'clock. TerrySavage.com is her website. Her latest column, T-Bills Beat CDs. If you're just joining us, she walked you through how to get almost 4% guaranteed on Treasury bills. And so she was encouraging us to do so. And then I thought, well, shoot, if I lock in 4%, that's great. But with the market down, maybe I can do better than 4% if I just bide my time and keep putting money in now that it's down.
You're so smart. I couldn't believe you turned around and said that to me, because you're absolutely right. One wouldn't want to do that, to buy T-bills, unless they thought rates were not only higher than everything else, but probably not going much higher. You want to buy them when rates are at their peak. We'll never know that. So I suggest that you stagger your purchases. And that's also in this column I posted just this morning at terrysavage.com. So let's just say you had $10,000. Maybe you want to buy $5,000 now and get it right out of that stinky money market account that's paying a half of 1%. And then next week, or wait 2 weeks, and click again on buy direct and buy Treasury bills, and wait 2 or 3 weeks and then buy another set. So if rates go up in the next ensuing 3 weeks, you'll get a higher rate when they have that auction. And then the other 25,000, like 6 weeks later, that way they will all be maturing at different times. Now, if rates continue to move higher, when you do the automatic rollover, you'll get even higher rates, and it'll be staggered. And if rates drop for some reason, I can't imagine why, in the coming 8-9 months, but if rates were to drop dramatically, then you'd at least still have those earning the higher rate for the future
percent.
6 months. Yeah, whatever it is.
That still doesn't resolve my issue, though, that what if I'm banking on the fact that the market in the next few years is going to go up 5%?
Well, wait, John. This is your, you sounded the trumpet. This is for chicken money. Pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered, remember? Okay, so the point is that you have set aside some money that you don't want to risk, and you've been getting, screwed by the banks, because they haven't needed to raise rates to attract your money, because there was plenty of money around, and they kind of took it, advantage of the fact they aren't giving out toasters, you know, bring your money here. They aren't competing to offer high rates yet. So now you get the free market move to move out of your bank into U.S. government treasury bills, the safest thing in the universe. And the online account, you know it because you opened the same account for iBonds, is the most secure thing in the world.
But should I keep putting money in my mutual fund?
Oh, that's a different question. This is for your chicken money.
I know that.
You allocated in advance. You said, I'm 62 years old.
But I'm not taking it out of the dollar cost averaging I'm doing for my retirement.
No. This is just
other
a
money
better
on the
place
side.
For your chicken money.
Okay. Lots of calls and questions for our listeners. Anything else you want to say before we pick up the phones?
Well, I can give you a little personal story. This is where I came in. Back in the early 1980s, when savings rates were fixed, 5% at banks, 5.25% at savings and loans. Any of you out there remember that? That was the highest you could get, and inflation was running at 10%. At that time, the only way to buy treasury bills, you needed a minimum of $10,000, and you had to have a certified check, a piece of paper certified. And you had to walk down to the Federal Reserve Bank. And I remember 40 years ago, probably this week, or maybe or so, telling people how to go buy treasury bills on TV. And then the Federal Reserve Bank called me and said, how many people are coming down here? We had to set up barricades on LaSalle Street.
Really?
Because people are smart. They respond. I'm telling you, it's safe. I'm telling you, you get your money back in 6 months or roll it over. The interest is free from state income tax. It's an IOU directly from the government. That's the same IOU the government gives you when it's FDIC insurance. And because it's now so accessible through treasurydirect.gov, the online portal, you can do it with a minimum of $100. No certified checks. Just link your bank account.
Automatically debits from your checking or savings.
Savings, whichever one you set up. Okay, do questions.
Jim, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Jim?
Yes, I actually have a question that's totally off the subject matter that we're talking about today. Do you have a contact person that can help me with a specific problem at Social Security?
Social Security is hard to get through, but I'll tell you, are you willing to describe the problem on air just briefly?
Sure. I'm 70 and a half right now. I waited till I was 70. Which was 6 months ago. I had a discussion, and they told me how much I was going to get at 70, but then they threw a curveball at me, and they said, but if you take this lump sum, you'll get an amount, lump sum put in your account, and then you'll get a lesser amount moving forward. I said, what's the lesser amount? They said it was only $34 a month difference.
No.
So I took the lump sum. Now we're trying to get it reversed.
Okay, hold on.
Stop right there. Okay, Larry Kotlikoff, who created the Social Security guru, is now my good buddy, actually, MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. Send me the whole information. Don't everybody do this. This is a unique thing. Everybody else post your questions on my blog, Ask Terry. You send me an email, Terry@TerrySavage.com, so I don't have to cut and paste. With your contact info, and I'll forward it to him. He told me he's literally been rattling the bushes about Social Security literally misleading people, not only just being wrong, but this is one of the things he's investigating. So send me all your personal details. I'm the only one that reads it. You don't have to give me your Social Security number, but your contact information and this whole story and the amounts and so forth, and I'll forward it to him.
Okay. And we'll report back on how
and
that
I'll
went
let you, yeah.
down the road. So, Jim, you stay there. Pete will get that information. It's 1243. Everybody has questions now about I-bonds versus T-bills.
Okay.
We'll let you answer those in a minute. First, let's go back into the WGN Radio Newsroom with more business news and Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The city of Chicago is about to announce a new round of incentives to encourage developers to create at least 1,000 new residential units in the Loop. Crane says the proposal will be announced next week by Mayor Lightfoot. The new initiative will use tax increment financing money and other public incentive programs. 300 of the 1,000 units will be affordable housing. Until now, funds from the LaSalle Central TIF District have been off limits for new downtown developments. In 2015, former Mayor Rahm Emanuel froze its use for private projects. Lightfoot hopes the initiative will breathe new life into the LaSalle Street corridor and help build on momentum generated by the Google redevelopment of the James R. Thompson Center. Residential rents climbed to a new record high in August, but moderated for the third straight month. The national median rent was up 11% year over year to $2,039. That's the smallest annual increase in a year and down from a peak gain of 19% in March. Rents rose more than 20% in Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and Nashville. Redfin says Chicago rent rose 0.2% to $2,436. Rents declined 15% in Milwaukee and 7% in Minneapolis. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Time for the Business of Food and Steve Alexander.
And we're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Southwestern Wisconsin is where Ben Roble calls home.
I'm in between La Crosse and Madison.
Is that the Kickapoo Valley?
Yep. That's about one hill over from us, yep.
Do you know that that's the boyhood home of our legendary friend Orion Samuelson?
Yes. Yeah, he's up, he's a little north, is it Ontario maybe?
Exactly. Okay, but back to Ben. He is the founder of Vegetation Solutions and has a contract to keep the weeds and grass down along the runways at O'Hare, and he does that with goats and sheep who go where machines can't. They eat brush and grass that would attract nesting birds, and man, birds and planes don't mix. And I'm surprised the noise from planes doesn't bother the goats and sheep.
We start them out in an area further away from the airfield so that they can acclimate to the sound, but I'd say within a half a day, 6 hours or something, the planes don't bother them at all.
Ben's got about 70 weed eaters at O'Hare right now, and the number varies through the summer. And how did he get into this kind of business? He went to college, got a degree in...
wildlife biology. I was supposed to go get a real job with the DNR and have benefits and 401k and all that stuff, but I'm young and dumb, so we'll try this.
And this started in 2009 with two goats. Word got around, and Ben added more.
I thought when I got to like 50 goats, you know, okay, that'll be enough, and then more people call, and then got to 100, okay, that'll be enough, and 200, and now this year we have 400, and it's still not enough.
He hires them out to anyone or any agency that wants to keep weeds down, but mowing or herbicides are not an option.
Primarily just Wisconsin and Illinois. We have had one job in Iowa. It just kind of depends on the job and how far I feel like traveling.
And they graze all summer.
And then in the fall to the spring, they come home to our farm where we get them bred, and then lambing and kidding season in the springtime.
Vegetation-solutions.com is where you can find Ben and his employees.
Yeah, it's just me and 400 goats and sheep that I employ.
From the farm to your belly, today is National Pecan Cookie Day. That's the business of food and on 720 WGN.
Jerome Powell announces what the new adjustment is going to be. Will it be 75, 50, 100 basis points? And how does he characterize it as key? Markets have been trending up in anticipation, but just a little bit. So we'll see what happens very, very soon. Terry Savage is in our studio, the syndicated financial columnist. Hey, Terry, here's a question from a listener. Says, is it possible to have my financial advisor redirect some of my money market funds into I-bonds or the T-bills you've been talking about that are now going to yield around 4%?
This is a do-it-yourself project. And when you take that money, I don't know how you're compensating your financial advisor, but if it's something called AUM, Assets Under Management, he or she is not going to be too pleased to see that you've taken assets, even though they're in the money market fund, out and put them into treasury bills or I-bonds. But this is something you create your own account. Now, you can create, by the way, the account in your name. Unlike savings bonds, it could be a joint name for if you want to open a treasury direct account in joint name, or you could open it in the name of your revocable living trust. So you take the money out of your other accounts. This is a do-it-yourself directly. Some advisors may offer to do it for you, or they may buy treasury bills through the banks. I think this is something you want to do yourself. That's your financial advisor who says, but I want you to keep some money on the sidelines fresh so that if I have a buying idea, you can buy it. You could say, well, I want to take some money aside. You'll know I have it.
What about this
question?
Put it in
directly.
I have $10,000. Should I buy I-bonds or T-bills?
That depends on your time horizon. Right now, Series I bonds are paying, it's astounding, 9.62%. And if through treasurydirect.gov, you can, on terrysavage.com, on the homepage, just under financial links, there's a box marked savings bonds, 9.62%, everything you need to know. You're going to get 9.62% for 6 months, even though the rate will change November 1st. You'll get 6 months of 9.62%. I think the rates will be pretty high November 1st. They're based on inflation, not on the Fed, but they're kind of go hand in hand, as you know. So then you'll get another 6 months of whatever the November 1st rate is after this current 6 months. But you can't take the money out before a year on your savings bonds. And if you take it out less than 5 years, you have a 3 months loss of interest penalty. If rates go into the doldrums 5 years from now, you might be willing to take that penalty. So it depends. If you need liquid money and a chance to get at it every 6 months or so, then you will buy Treasury bills. Probably going to be close to 4% at the next Monday auction. If you want to lock some money up, 9.62% for 6 months guaranteed if you buy before November 1st.
This is Joel. You're on WGM with Terry Savage. Hi, Joel.
How you doing, John?
Good. What's up?
And you know, I got a question for Terry. Terry, it's awesome to you know, talk to you live like this. I've got a question for you. In the beginning of the year, I've listened to you, and I went out and I bought the I-bonds, $10,000, and so on and so forth. And this is kind of an exciting news that, you know, with the T-bonds, maybe you could further explain, because, you know, I'm trying to wrap my head around this one. So, you know, I've got money, which in a case, I can invest right away, and I plan on it. So what's the difference of my payback if I just get a six-month versus same amount, let's say $10,000, and invest it for a full year? What's the difference of the payback?
The two-year rate right now is exactly at 4%. The six-month rate, because of the way the Fed's moving short rates up, is trading at the moment at about 3.9%. So there's not really much advantage to going out 2 years unless you think this is the highest we'll ever see rates. That's why I focused on chicken money liquidity 6 months. Again, you have your investment money growing in a separate pool. You might also want to have some in a money market fund because you need it in, what, January to pay your property taxes. Or you need to have some cash on hand to pay something. So you suffer with a money market account at your bank that's paying like a quarter of 1% or something like that. But if you know you can put it away for 6 months, I think the sweet spot is 6 months now, just under 4%.
Awesome. Thank you so very much,
sure.
Terry.
Good question. Thanks for the phone call. What about you, Terry? You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Terry.
Hey there, Terry. Thank you so much. Appreciate your wisdom here. I have a real life story that happened to me a number of years ago. My husband passed away in the early 80s, quite young, and as well as I was, and now I'm retired. So I had a $20,000 life insurance policy that I broke into two Treasury bills, staggered them, I think, maybe 3 months apart or something. And one of them came due, and then at the next interval, the other one came due. So I sought some additional financial advice, and I contacted my bank because I still had a mortgage at that time. I called them up, and I said I would like to come in today and pay off my mortgage. And back then, of course, real estate was at a much different level than what it is now for somebody buying a first home. So I took, I went over to the bank, and I had the two Treasury bill checks that I had received, and I said, I'd like to pay off my mortgage. And they said, well, you'll need to come back tomorrow. And I said, no, I'll be over there shortly. And I went in and I paid it off, and it was the smartest financial decision I ever made at that point in my life. And it really helped me a lot moving forward over the years.
I'm out of time almost.
All right, we're running out of time. Is there a question?
What's the question?
No, I just I'm seeing a real life experience here.
Okay.
And I think it's a good idea.
It's a discipline of savings. At that time, mortgage rates were high. Probably a great idea you got out from under. I don't believe in having mortgages when you're retired, so enjoy your retirement. Right now, mortgage rates are low, so if you have a 3% mortgage, don't pay it off. You're getting really a great deal. This is, again, chicken money. Go to terrysavage.com. The top column says T-bills beat CDs.
Syndicated financial columnist Terry Savage was on with us for the entirety of the Wintrust Business Lunch an hour ago. Fed has just announced, not surprisingly, that the interest rate goes up 75 basis points. That's the third straight time the interest rates have been hiked that way. Terry's back in our studio. The Dow is now, it was off about 225. Now it's off about 170, 140. What are you seeing here, Terry?
Well, this was not a big surprise. The number wasn't a big surprise itself. Along with it, though, the Fed announced that it sees this not ending until its Fed funds rate hits 4.6%. Let me give you some context. About a year ago, less than a year ago, when they started raising rates, Fed funds were like a quarter of 1%. Today, they upped them to, this Fed funds rate is an interbank trading rate that the Fed directly controls with the banks. Enough said about that. So from 0% over the last year, they've upped them to today to between 3 and 3.25%. And as part of this announcement, they said, yep, we think we need to get it up to 4.6%. That was on the outer range of what the market was expecting. And that's led everybody to say, oh my gosh, this was okay, we figured this out, but that's really going to cause a recession. That's really going to cause a slowdown in earnings and everything else you know
because
about a recession.
Because that's the rate banks charge each
that's
other.
That's the rates banks charge each other in the overnight markets. But the point is, if they're going up that significantly much more from here, if that's what's on the Fed's mind now, that they're going to keep going, they didn't say, well, we'll do it in 50 basis point increments, or they'll start judging that after they hear Fed Chairman Powell talk in less than a half hour. But the point is, the market got confirmation. The Fed, yeah, they did it, and they say they're going to be doing more, and oh my goodness, what if it sparks a recession? And that's why you see the market selling off. It trades between maybe that's all they'll do, maybe they'll be dependent on data in this press conference and say if we see signs of slackening like the housing market, the auto market, other things, well, maybe we'll finish up early and it won't get that high. But they just said out loud, yeah, it could get that high.
What does this mean to small business owners?
It's tough on small business owners. I mean, the slowdown in the economy, that's what they're making, and that's very tough on small business owners. They typically don't have the resources to carry themselves through a slowdown.
But does this mean that it'll be more expensive for them to borrow money from banks to fund their operations?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be more expensive for everybody to borrow, and lenders like you who put your money into banks or into treasury bills, as we talked about. When we were talking 20 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, I said, well, the two-year is yielding just 4% and the six-month is yielding 3.9%.
3.91.
Okay, now, right now, the market moved, and this is not a guarantee of what it'll be at the auction on Monday, but it trades all the time. It's up to 3.96, and the two-year is up to 4.1%. There's a surge
just in the last
rates.
10 minutes.
Just since we were talking, the market's trading. These are trillion-dollar U.S. government securities markets. You're not trading those markets. You're getting in at the auction when you buy a treasury.
But everything you said then on the Wintrust Business Lunch 10 minutes ago is even more true now, right? These are attractive numbers you're telling me about.
Well, if you're a saver, they're very attractive numbers to go buy treasury bills. They're moving. The yields are moving up quickly. Your bank CD rates won't move up that quickly. But for the economy, higher interest rates will definitely slow things down. Could cause unemployment. I've been saying for weeks, get that weekend job now while they still need people to wait to be waiters, because we could have a real slowdown. And the Fed is, we'll see what the Fed chairman says in 20 minutes.
Bob Kessler, didn't you just buy a house recently?
I bought a home, yeah. And here's the thing. So I was in the market when the interest rates were super, super low. And you know, the place was get snapped up so quick. Couldn't even really get an offer in. So place I found, put the offer in. A day later, they said, okay, we were below the asking price. So I don't know. My question is, are lower rates necessarily a good thing? You know what I mean?
Well, they were a good thing for you. You got a chance.
I think Bob is saying, having bought it now with the rates higher, it was not so competitive. There were
fewer people in the market.
That's
exactly what the Fed's trying to do.
Okay.
Stop the surge in home prices. Home prices were appreciating at 15% a year.
Yeah, and you couldn't even look at the places.
So the Fed doesn't want inflation to be a major factor in the American economy. It's hard to believe, but inflation can be more devastating over the long run to everyone's financial plans, businesses, and the government than a recession, which might be brief and very painful. And that's what the Fed's walking the tightrope. Could they slow it without throwing it into a recession? It looks like they are either intent on telling us or doing it, that they're going to raise rates enough to slow the economy so people like you can buy a home. Now, your mortgage rate is higher than it would have been a year ago when you would have been chasing it. But guess what? We'll have a recession. eventually rates will come down and you'll get to refinance your mortgage.
Well, yeah, and I would have paid over the asking price for this property,
yeah,
and
so,
I got it under.
Right, hallelujah, because right now sales are slowing. We've seen that single family home sales that was announced this morning have slowed. The next thing you're going to see, and I follow this in an online thing that sends me prices from an area in which I was looking a couple of years ago, and I keep getting these just to watch them go up, and now I'm seeing notices, oh, price reduced, price reduced, price reduced. It's starting to happen.
One last question before I let you go. So do you think the Fed made the right call, both in the 75 basis points and in the interbank signaling?
They made the call they had to make. They're the Fed. Not for me to judge. The market is judging. The market's saying now the market's down 250 points. I think the judgment of the market at this moment, before the Fed chairman speaks, 15 minutes after the announcement, is, okay, we expected 75 basis points. We didn't expect them to say we're at 3.25 now. We could have to go to 4.6% before this is all over. And the market down 250 points is saying, that could really trigger a recession, and that's not good for stocks.
We'll wait to see what Jerome Powell says later today. If you're still in the building, say hi.
Yeah,
otherwise,
I'm going to sit and watch the press conference.
Okay, good. Terry Savage is in the house. It's 116. This is WGN.